Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated 1 minute. I'm sure that there are people. That God has touched tonight, and our lives will never remain the same. We declare this 2023 International Ministers Flaming Fire Conference opened in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 5, all the way to verse 8. Then went Philip down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were healed, that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Move on 9 and 10. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Forces of revival, one. And here we are treating, what is revival? What is revival? Our objective tonight is to understand the features or the character of revival from the scripture. The features or the character of revival from scripture. And briefly also, we shall understand the way of revival. The way of revival. Also from scripture. Beloved brothers and sisters, we are in the end of time. The signs of the end time are very glaring and very obvious. We might delve in detail in that tomorrow. Where witches are coming out to say we are witches and homosexuals and gay and all of that are coming out to claim right. That was what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, I can't watch this anymore. The end time is the time for the most drastic move of God, such as the world has never seen. It is prophetic. And it had been prophesied. In Joel chapter 2 and in verse 1, all the way to verse 3, say, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Joel chapter 3, verse 2, verse 1. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Here, and nothing shall escape them. He jumped to verse 23. We are still in chapter 2 of Joel. And then he said, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And then the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I'll restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army, which I sent among you.
and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now look at verse 28. And it shall come to pass when these things are happening and afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And he said, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. That is the kind of prophecy we have for the end time. In Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 6 all the way to verse 9. Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 6 all the way to verse 9. Haggai chapter 2. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And he said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the kind of prophecy we have for the end time. In Acts chapter 3 and in verse 19 to verse 21, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, but before he comes, whom the heaven must receive, he must remain there until the times of the restitution of all things, the restoration of the apostolic and the prophetic and the mantles of old, the Jeremiah mantle, the Isaiah mantle, the Ezekiel mantle, the mantles that we saw of old, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So the Master is not allowed to come until there is a restitution. And a restoration of ancient mantles. Is somebody here tonight about to receive something? Say aloud, amen. In the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19, it said, and the earnest expectation of creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So there is a manifestation of the sons of God that is to happen in the end time. So we are in the season. We are in a season. We are in a prophetic season. We are in a prophetic, in Isaiah chapter 2 and in verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Look at your neighbor, say, you are in the midst of a season of revival. Tell them, you are in the midst of a season of revival, and it is important that you know. Look at another, say, you are in a season, you are in a season of revival. You are located in a season of revival. And it's important that you know. Somebody say aloud, amen. What are the features of this revival? Number one is the saturation of the earth with heavenly climate and atmosphere. What happens when the revival happens? There is the saturation of the earth with heavenly climate and atmosphere. I have given these features of revival before in some other meetings, but the combination of this is quite different from what you know. It is the saturation of the earth with the climate of heaven, the climate and the atmosphere of heaven. It is a season where heaven literally kisses the earth. In Exodus 13 verse 21, when we saw the revival that was led by Moses, the pillar, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. That is a climate from heaven to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. When you are in a season of revival, you feel heaven in the earth. It's like you can touch it. It's like you can smell it. There is that feelable, tangible, that palpable presence of God that demons scream out of when they experience it. It is the saturation of the earth with the climate and atmosphere of heaven. The apostles saw that in Jerusalem, where the shadow of Peter healed the sick. Number two, it is the manifestation, an exhibition of the almightiness of God. In the season of revival, there is the manifestation, the exhibition of the almightiness of God. It is God stepping in and saying, let me show you who I am, for the earth shall be filled. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. With the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the seas. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. But the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the seas. It is the manifestation. It is the exhibition. You know, when they do trade fair in the physical, they exhibit various wares and materials. But in the revival, it is the manifestation, the exhibition of the almightiness of God. That was what happened in Samaria in Acts chapter 8 from verse 5, where we just read. There was just an explosion of the almightiness of God. The lame were walking, the blind were seeing. All manner of miracles were happening. That was what happened in the revival in Acts of the Apostles, where the man born crippled sitting at his mother's at the beautiful gate was jacked up by power. It is an exhibition and the manifestation of the almightiness of God. Last year in America, where we went to Houston for a crusade, a woman brought two children. Both children were autistic children. They had attention. I think they had ADD as well as autism. They were zero as far as academics were concerned. Zero. Completely zero. You were there. This woman, apart from the autistic children, also herself had not eaten any food for 7 years. Yes, she had not eaten food for 7 years. Allergies. She lived on vegetable. Just slight quantity of vegetable. If she ate normal food, any form of food, she could have an anaphylactic reaction and die. 7 years. She had not tasted, you were there, but when she testified, she had not eaten food for 7 years. This woman was in the meeting. The power of God, you were there too. The power of God rushed on her. I laid hands on the two children and I told her that God was going to change their brain. I'd like you to hear what happened. The same day, right? The power of God came upon her. This allergic symptom disappeared. She went straight to the restaurant and ordered fish. She ordered fish, steak fish, ate the fish, no reaction. Began to eat food, no reaction. She ate food for 1 year and came back 1 year later. Are you ready for this? The child that could not go to school because of autism. You know what happened to them? You know what happened? This child returned back to school. When the doctor said he was useless for school, this child returned back to school, wrote exams. Hold on. He wrote exams and passed the exam until two universities gave him admission. One on merit. I believe one was in his scholarship. And what is he to read? Accounting minor plus aerospace engineering. Add this over brain. Space engineering. That is, he had cleared further mathematics. He has cleared physics. He had cleared everything. And had the brain to work on space. The boy that was autistic became a genius because the power of God is real. Are you here today? Somebody here, get ready, because something is about to happen. Something is about to happen for your life. You are about to walk into a realm of power you have never seen experienced before. I don't know who God sent me to hear today, but God is going to give a testimony in your life, around your life, and through your life that will amaze people until people wonder whether this is real. Somebody shout, power! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. There are many things I can say tonight, but I'm in a race for time. There is the manifestation, the exhibition of the almightiness of God. Number 3. Number 3 is the humiliation and the destruction of the forces of evil. A major character of revival is to catch the devil and humiliate him and teach him to regret his devilishness and bring him to the point where he regretted the day he became a devil. He was an angel before. He was Lucifer before he became Satan the devil. There are many of us here who carry a mantle that will make the devil to regret his devilishness, that will make the devil to cry. He didn't say unclean spirit shouted or screamed. He said they cried. Not that they screamed, they cried. Let's take it literally. They cried. If demons can weep, they wept. They shed tears. They were so manhandled. They were so humiliated. They were so molested. Unclean spirits. We are in that season where the devil is going to regret his evil. Where the agents of the devil will regret their evil. In scripture, unclean spirits cried out. He said, I am passing through Egypt tonight. That is part of revival. I want to sentence the gods of Egypt. That is Exodus chapter 12, I believe it's in verse 12. And I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Hear me tonight. I announce to you today, every deity of evil, every shrine, every satanic altar, and every work of evil that has ever confronted your life and deared your family and your destiny, you are living with a mantle to humiliate those powers, to molest those powers, to destroy those powers. Somebody shout, power! Humiliation, molestation, destruction. Is God speaking to somebody here? I want you to live here with a sufficient dose of anger. There is a connection between anger and unction. I want you to live here. When the lion roared against Samson, Samson and anger stirred up on the inside of him. And then the mantle rose up on his head and he tore it to pieces. When David saw Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Something rose up inside him. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Where is this devil agent coming from? That fury imparted him with a fire that made him to bring down that devil. Beloved, when God sent Moses, he sent Moses to go and revenge all the blood that Pharaoh shed, the blood of all his people, the blood of all the Egyptians, everyone that Pharaoh killed, everyone that Egypt buried before their time. That was the assignment of Moses. I believe there are people here today that are going to live with the mantle of Moses back to your country, back to your community, and sink the devil that wanted to sink your life and sink your destiny and sink your family. Shout fire! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Look at somebody by yourself. Say the devil is about to be humiliated. Practically humiliated. Number four. What is the feature number four? Is the liberation. And I think I've told you everything about number three. You saw how Elijah humiliated the prophets of Baal. Catch them, let not none run. That is what to do with the devil in the season of revival and his agents. Number four is the liberation and the restoration of the people to health, to wholeness, and liberty. The liberation, the restoration of the people to health, to wholeness, to liberty. Unclean spirits cried out. Many that were sick were healed. We are still in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 5, 6. And verse 7 right there. They were healed. They were delivered. It's the liberation and the restoration of people to health and to wholeness. During a revival, there is an unction in the air to restore people to health. There is an unction in the air to check out devils. Am I speaking to somebody here? That was what Oral Roberts said concerning the healing revival. He said healing was very, very easy because it looked like healing was literally in the air, as if it was in the atmosphere. We are about to see those days again. Am I communicating? In fact, we are seeing those days again where the climate is so thick. People step into church and they step out of wheelchair. We saw three people rose out of wheelchair here this morning. Am I communicating? And not minor issue of him. He was weak, so he sat down. Spinal tuberculosis. Tuberculosis of the spine. Paralyzed, crippled, and lumbar spondylosis. Crippled and paralyzed the other one. I don't know what was the case of the third person. Yes, he had a hip situation arthritis of the hip or something. All of them jacked up back. One other person removed his neck collar and was healed. Another one who had cervical spondylosis was seeing that happening. He ran out, removed it, and began to move his neck. In other words, what am I carrying when this man is healed? Nobody called him. Nobody mentioned it. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? He ran out with fire, with violence, and with aggression. I announce to you, before you pray for the next person who is sick, every affliction in your own body is flushed out of your system. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For somebody here, I am anointed to announce to you that this is the convention of your complete liberty. Whatever is wrong with your body, biologically, physiologically, anatomically, I declare today, they are cleared out. Somebody lift your right hand and shout the loudest, say amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. It is a restoration. That was what happened. The Israelites, God said, I've seen the affliction of the people and I have come to deliver them. That was revival. Are you ready for number five? Number five is the sanitization. Somebody say sanitation. Is the sanitization or the sanitation of spiritual climates and territories. When revival happens, spiritual climates are sanitized. Spiritual climates over territories are sanitized. They are purified. When God said, I am going to clear out the gods of Egypt, it means I am cleaning the air over Egypt. Am I communicating? Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 12. When Elijah said, hold the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape. And he slew 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Ashtaroth and threw down their altar. That was a sanitization of the climate in that territory. When the healing took place,
when Philip finished with Samaria, if Philip had left and let Simon in Samaria, the work was not finished. The work was not finished. That is plus one minus one. Zero. For as long as Simon was still there, somebody will still be sick. Somebody will still be lame. Somebody will still be crippled. Somebody will still be deceived. But many of you, you have Simons around you. Some of them have Simons that are your friends, but you didn't know them. You have Simons you listen to, you didn't know them. See Simon, verse 9. Acts chapter 8. See Simon. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. His source is sorcery. His root is witchcraft. The Bible said he bewitched. That's witchcraft. The people of Samaria, he gave out himself, advertised himself, not as a sorcerer, not as a wizard, but as a great one who carried the power of God. Look at it in verse 10 now. To whom they all gave heed. Everybody listening to him. Everybody listening to them. He's on social media. He's on the internet. He has great followership. To whom they all gave it, from the least to the greatest, saying this man is a wizard. Saying this man is a sorcerer. There are many sorcerers carrying the microphone. Many whose source is witchcraft. They have confused the lives of people, confused the minds of people, confused the mind of the church, confused the minds of believers. There are people, you go to their office, you see the picture of an authentic servant of God. The second picture is that of a sorcerer. You see a sticker of an authentic oil. You see another sticker of a wizard. Many of them, we know each other. Yes. I've asked many people. Ask some people, what is your root? This authority you are in, which authority are you under? Who born you? How do you want to give birth without being born? Who is your father? You have references of several people. Which one is your father? But this is what is about to happen. And I speak this with passion. Because for as long as that girl with the spirit of divination is prophesying, she is bringing gain to her masters and bringing losses to the kingdom. The gain of their master is the loss of the kingdom. The gain of their masters is the loss of the kingdom. There is a diversion of spiritual traffic. For a gullible generation that is bankrupt of discernment. A gullible generation that thinks that all that glitters is gold. A gullible generation that thinks that grammar is unction. I prophesy now. This is why I preach this. God is about to
close the assignment of Simon, to end the agenda of the sorcerers. If he ended Simon the sorcerer in Samaria and ended the assignment of the little girl with the spirit of divination. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? The little girl with the spirit of divination in Macedonia. I am anointed to announce that many of you standing here, your arrival in the city where you are going is the end of the assignment of Simon. The end of the assignment of the sorcerer. The end of the assignment of the wizards.
You know, when you read the Bible, read it well. Read it well. The people said, this is the great power, not of the devil. If they had known it was the power of the devil, they wouldn't celebrate him. If they knew that it was the power of the devil, they wouldn't celebrate him. You can't blame the people too much. That was their perception. And the perception came from deception. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And everyone that is here that has ever been contaminated and corrupted with an oil from a sorcerer, with an impartation from a sorcerer in this convention, I declare it is wiped out. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. I declare it is wiped out. It is cleaned out. It is cleared out. Somebody shout power. Why do we have to talk in this area? If their gain does not affect the kingdom, no challenge. We just proceed. But their gain is at the death, at brings losses to the kingdom. It brings losses to the kingdom. It diverts the traffic of genuine seekers. Who think that all that glitters was gold? Who seeks to be pastored by an oil that is not pastoring anybody to heaven? Somebody say loud amen. Lift up your right hand and say after me, say Father. Say it louder, say Father. In the name of Jesus. Say it louder, say Father. In the name of Jesus. Say it at the top of your voice, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to sanitize my territory in life, in ministry. I receive that grace to sanitize my territory by your power. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, if you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, say amen. Let us rush. Please take your seat. Let me rush and see how we can finish this thing tonight. The sanitization of spiritual climate over territories. Number six is the intensification of word impact. In seasons of revival, word becomes more impactful than usual. Preaching becomes more impactful than usual. Words become heavier than usual. The word of God proceeds with unusual weight, unusual impact. Like it happened in Luke chapter 24 verse 32. When the disciples went on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our heart born within us when he talked with us? Impact of words. In Acts chapter 2 verse 37, the Bible said concerning Peter, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the people, apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their hearts. Words that begin to carry heavy impact. Have you seen the preaching of John the Baptist before? In Matthew chapter 3 verse 5. Matthew chapter 3 verse 5 to 10. The Bible said, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all
the region round about Jordan. And we are baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers!
Is that how to preach? Is that how to preach? O generation of vipers! Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Is that how to preach? Listen. You snakes. A lineage of snakes. Why are you running from hell now? What are you coming here to do? People are responding to your preaching and coming. If it is today, it's an over celebration. Thank God. I mean, all of us were very happy when the venue is jammed, where the crowd are plenty. This one, the Bible says Jerusalem came, Judea came. Everybody came and met him where he was, and he's telling them, why are you coming? Why did you come? Remain at home and perish. It was not a feel-good preaching. You shall make it. Amen. You shall succeed. Amen. Whether you live right or not, God will bless you. Amen. That was not a preaching. It was not motivational preaching. It was not pam-pammy preaching. Snake children, where are you coming from? What are you coming to do here? Why don't you return back to your beer parlor? Look at that. And the more he said that, the more they came. Place it back on the screen. The more they came. Bring forth fruit, me to repentance. Don't just come here and say you are changed. Show that you changed. Huh? And then, in verse 9, you know, and don't think that you are Abraham's children. Don't deceive yourself. You people are always deceiving yourself. Say, Abraham is our father. Because I say to you, if you return back home, God will raise stones from children from it, for Abraham from these stones. And for your warning, let me tell you, there is an axe that is laid to the root of the tree. for your information, God has an axe to cut you down. What a church service. You see, that is why you don't have to water down your preaching or water down the standard of the message to impact your world. You don't have to compromise the content of what you say to attract the people. If it is authentic revival, the word of God, as raw as it is, will bring the people. That's what we call the weight of words. That was the kind of thing people like John Wesley had. That was the kind of thing people like Charles Gippin had. Their words carried weight, so much weight. D.L. Moody, am I communicating at all? And I believe that we are coming to those days again. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. There is the impact, the intensification of word impact. Am I communicating? Can we go on because of time? What number? Number 7 is the realization of genuine conviction and conversion. Genuine conviction and conversion. There is a climate of genuine conviction and conversion. Not just answering the altar call. Not somebody coming to the altar call like he's coming to do God favor with chewing gum. Coming. It's coming. It's altar call. He's coming to answer. Hand in pocket. Say, come and give your life to Christ. What kind of reverence is that? There is no civilized repentance. There is no civilization where repentance is concerned. It is raw. It is primitive. It is primitive change of mind. It is primitive. I am sorry for how I have been living my life. It is primitive. I am bowing down for you, Almighty God. I am dust. I've seen a lot of people like that. Just stand there. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life. He can't even stop the chewing gum to finish the prayer and continue the chewing gum. Where, was it in America where we were, some people were covering on camera and covering us in a program? I told Dr. Mr. Chad, I want to talk to this people. Let them chew the gun after the service. It was America, I think. Oh, as if they agreed. This one is chewing gum. The other one, the other one. I was feeling very irritated. Even if you are not interested in what is happening, concentrate and do your work. Don't forget what I just said. There is no civilized repentance. If you are facing God, face Him raw. And I believe very, very soon, America and Europe shall see the primitivity or the primitiveness of the power and the anointing of God. You believe that? Shout the loudest, say amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, say amen. There is a climate of genuine conviction where people are coming to the altar crying. People are coming to the altar. They run out and go on their knees on their own. Nobody told them. There is that climate of genuine conviction and genuine conversion. In 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 39, when the people saw the fire that fell, they said with one accord, the Lord is God. That is, we give ourselves to God. We surrender our lives to God. No coercion. No begging. Of course, in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8, where we read, we saw what happened. The whole people with one accord gave heed. Genuine conversion. That leads us to number 7, which is connected to number 6. It is the realization of genuine transformation. Genuine transformation of lives. When you, in this season of revival, you see lives that are changed, they are changed. Call it the production of authentic Christians, authentic disciples. The production of authentic disciples. Not people with one leg in the church, another leg outside the church. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27, 26, the Bible said, And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians. First, in Antioch. During the revival of the 70s, that some of us came to the Lord first. 78, 79, some major part of the 70s. When you saw a Christian, you knew that this person is a Christian. Nobody needed to tell you. You are not told. I mean, it was very, very clear. In those days, nobody will hold cigarette in his hand and bring hand to shake you, and you will agree. How? Nobody will be drinking alcohol and then remove his hand from the alcohol and say, "Oh, you were too holy to shake an alcoholic hand." Yes. I'm not communicating at all. Then, even as a man, it's not all cloth you can wear. No. This morning I was coming to Ilan Deliverance service. Was it this morning? And I saw one girl coming into church. I said, "What is this now?" I wound down the glass. I said, this is church, not nightclub. Please. Today. Can someone confirm it to me? Somebody was me with her. Was it this morning? What is this now? What kind of problem is this? This is church, not nightclub. This is only, this type is, you only wear this kind in your bedroom. Even in your bathroom. You know, one day, where my wife and I and the family, we went to Hilton, I think. No, Hilton. We went for with the children. As we stepped out, you know, those kind of people that dress that way, there are plenty there. This was my little boy then, very young then. He saw one coming, he just blocked his eyes. Small boy. Nobody told him anything. He knew that this kind of dressing is not meant for outside. I don't, maybe 5 or 6 or how many, I don't know how old. Just block the eyes. That was the type somebody was wearing to church. That I said, return back. You are free to come as you are, but you are not permitted to remain the way you were. If you have come once and twice like that, there should be a change. Am I communicating at all? At that time, you felt guilty if you didn't carry tracts in your pocket. That you went out, you are not well dressed without tracts. You are not, you can't conceive. You felt guilty, you felt like you sinned. If you didn't have something to give somebody inside the taxi. And to say, do you understand? But I believe that something is happening in this season. Anybody believe a revival is coming here in this season? You shout the loudest, amen. Say it a louder, amen. I will soon round off. Number 9 is the explosion and intensification of zeal and passion is connected. Zeal and passion for God. In the climate of revival, he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. They are willing to pray, willing to fast, willing to evangelize. They are willing to study the word. These people are just on the road everywhere. In Mark 16 verse 20, they went everywhere, preaching the word, confirming the word, and the Lord walked with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. In Acts chapter 2, from verse 41 to 47, these people were almost worshipping on a daily basis. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Can you see that? And Acts chapter 8 verse 4. Those that were scattered abroad. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That is what raw revival is. Anywhere you find yourself, you are saying something to somebody. Your spiritual life followed you everywhere. There is such an explosion of zeal. Whenever a church is lacking in zeal, when the members are only coming to receive miracle, or coming to hear a good preaching, or coming to feel good with service, then something is terribly wrong, and revival is in their need. The explosion and intensification of zeal and passion for God. Number 10 now. Are you ready for number 10? Number 10 is the escalation of supernatural experiences, encounters and visitations. There is the escalation of supernatural experiences, encounters and visitations. Paul the apostle had the encounter on the way to Damascus. Acts chapter 9, from verse 1 all the way to verse 12. Where the light struck him, and he was hearing the voice of the master. Philip had the encounter after he finished the revival in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, when the Holy Ghost told him to join a chariot. In verse 39, after he finished and he baptized the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And in verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus. 8:30, he disappeared from where the eunuch was. 8:30 on the dot, he found himself in Azotus and continued as usual. Time lost relevance. There was no time at all. Time disappeared. There is a witness I have in my spirit that we are in that season where things like this will be happening. We are in that season. 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 When will you testify? Mother-in-law had terrible affliction on the leg. Cellulitis, whatever it was. I mean, terrible, very, very terrible. Surgeons were meant to go on for surgery. Brought the picture 2 days ago, Sunday after service. And I said, in the name of Jesus, this affliction, you have dried up, dry up, and surgery canceled. Sunday, today is Tuesday. Wound is dry, the affliction is dried up, surgery is canceled. Being discharged today, under 48 hours. One of our members lost his phone in Kuje. Was it Kuje? He lost the phone in Lube. In Lube here. And he was in Kuje, which is another district altogether. In fact, another LGA. And the Holy Ghost said, go here and see that dustbin. And the phone was there. Our sister was in the midst of kidnappers on Wari, Benin or Express Road, in the thick of the bush. Sang, you are always there to help me. Lifted up her face. Next place she found herself was on Benin Highway beside Army Checkpoint. Who harvested her, gave her accommodation for 24 hours, and then sent her on her way to Lagos after she told her story. One of us followed us to the UK for conference, this particular conference. Inside the train, lost everything, bag, ATM, international passport carrying the visa. Everything disappeared inside the train. He said, sir, how do I go home? How do I go back home? And now if it is time to return home, you need the passport, you need the visa inside. And if you don't have it, then you have to go and start talking about travel document and what will take you back home. Embassy has one. I said, no, it is found. It can't be lost. It is recovered on the spot. You heard when I was praying. She was crying, knelt down before mommy and cried. Went to the airport like she wanted to board it. And here was the bag. Lost in the train station. With everything inside. Computer, ATM card, international passport, every single thing that was lost inside the train was found at the airport. That one, the testimony has not been shared yet. I'm sharing it ahead of time. The person is still out in the UK. You see, the reason why these things have to be said is so that you can walk with expectation. That we are in the season where anything can happen. Anything is possible. Anything is happenable. Anything is happenable. Anything is possible. I had a little boy picture that I liked so much. I think I was 4 years old then, with hand in pocket. That picture disappeared. It was to me as if it was a house or a building or anything that has disappeared. I love that picture so much. My wife loved the picture so much. It was one of her incubation pictures. One day I said, Lord, I need to find this picture. On that 24 hours, somebody came to me and said, I found some pictures somewhere. I'd like you to look at it. That was when I was convinced that if God can be interested in me finding picture, then anything is findable. Hey! Hey!
say supernatural experiences, encounters, visitations. That is my testimony. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen.
What number are we? Number 10. So sit down and we have two or three more and then we are gone. Number 10, that's number 11. Is the submission of whole cities. The submission of whole cities and territories. In seasons of revival, whole cities. Remember Israel under Moses? The whole of Israel came out of Egypt in one day. You remember Israel in the days of Elijah? 1 Kings 18:39, where we just read. The whole country repented in one day. You remember how cities came out for John the Baptist, where we read just now? I think it's Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, thereabout. Then came out Jerusalem, Judea. Whole cities came out. Then went out, verse 5, to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about. The city came out. What of Paul the Apostle? Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Acts 13, 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. We have come to the stage where whole cities shall be subdued. And if you are two brethren in the city, two anointed men of God that carry revival mantle, you will just share it. You take from here to here, me take from here to there. We all command the city together. We command the territory together. Am I communicating at all? We command the city together. When we went to Jalingo, the city almost stood still. If we continue that crusade one more night, that stadium you are seeing there would have become the overflow. There was already overflow outside in the stadium. And we're going to go back there. Because the level of expectation and celebration that the people have there is rare, is rare, is rare. We are going back there. Hunger, we are going back there. Going back there 3 days. People travel in 7 hours. What's their farthest distance from Gembua? From 7 hours, 8 hours. They arrived after the crusade had closed. I felt very bad. They went to where we poured the oil on the ground and dug the ground. They kept digging the oil. When we went to Kano, we were told that the last time we were there with us in Kano, the last time anything like this was to happen was when Rehabonke was meant to come in 19. You were there. You told us. In 1991, when Rehabonke was meant to come, and resulted in riot, and it was cancelled. That was when they would have had a crowd like this, which meant that a crowd like this had not been. They would have had a crowd like this when Bonke came, but Bonke couldn't come, so a crowd like that couldn't happen. In that land. And we trust God to go back there again. In the city of Leeds in the UK, there is no history of any major servant of God coming to the city. It is Northern England. It had never happened that, now this is not Nigeria, this is the United Kingdom. It had never happened that either a Benny Hinn or anybody, any of those frontline people, even Maurice Cerullo that went everywhere, Leeds, they didn't go, Leeds, England. That a Joe would go to Manchester and London. Nobody ever went there. And when we looked at where to go and it was pinpointed and the Spirit gave us the go ahead to go, it was the whole of Leeds were exploding. The mayor of Leeds was in attendance. The mayor, after he finished exchanging pleasantries and he spoke from the altar, and we went to sit down. He was about to go because of other engagements. He said, but you have not prayed for me. You have not prayed for me. I need a prayer. So I took him back to the altar. And I said, you know what? The mayor said, he's the 127th mayor. There is a church, a church building there that is 1,000 years old. That church doesn't have a pastor now. It's part of some of the kind of things that we want to go and buy back.
There is a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. All over the world, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. All over the world, as the prophets said it should be. All over the world, there is a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Take your seat, people. Whole cities, whole territories. Number 12, it is the explosion of supernatural supply. We are in the season where God must just give money to the church. He must just release supplies, release resources. How we moved from Leeds to Bedfordshire through Luton Airport. No way we could have gone on normal movement and be here on Sunday to preach. I was meant to speak 10 minutes in that church in, you can show us the picture, old rugged tent revival. I was so exhausted. We finished from Leeds by 5 a.m. This program was starting by 9. We had to rest a little and go to the airport. I told the pastor, what do you want? We are so exhausted. We did all night, this and that. He said, well, if you are not able to come, I will understand. But I will be happy if you came. I told him, I'm on my way coming. We got there. The man told me, he said, the way you were coming, because he watched the night vigil along with us. The way you were and did all, the all night till morning. I thought you would just preach for 10 minutes. That is the 10 minutes happening there. Full blast preaching, ministration, deaf hearing, crippled walking, rheumatoid arthritis. The pastor is vibrating on the ground there. All manner. That's raw grass there that you are seeing. Hit the airport by 3 p.m. and took off. Journey is longer than usual because there's no flight across Niger Republic. They went around. All journeys have added at least 1 hour. We reached here about 10 in the night. Rested a bit. Then we came back for 2 services on Sunday. Miracle Crusades. Then Monday, the meeting for the youth and single. Here we are today. One of our pastors said he needed a little rest so he can cope. He can cope very well for the program. That I should excuse him from the first night meeting. I said, oh, you're highly excused. I can understand how tired you must be from preaching all through. I said, it's too much. I mean, the schedule is too much. You need that rest. Massive resources that will fly workmen. At times when I see the coverage, the way some of the people cover with camera and all this, I say no, they don't know the work at all. We need to carry our workmen, everybody together, cameramen mixing people, instrumentalists, singers, ushers, protocol. So you have a separate aircraft like an Airbus that is carrying the workforce. Another one carrying equipment, a cargo plane. This is not luxury. People who are doing nothing and are impacting no life. Some who are killing people and moving about anyhow they want. Many of you have an unction now to be organizing crusades in the city where you are. But it is half that you don't have. Do you understand? The vision is there, the passion is there, but the supply is not there. It is half that you don't have. How many of you think I'm saying your mind? I'm saying your mind. The locality where you are, you put up a stage there, advertise the move of God, and then the crowd gather. You are not the healer, and you make demands on the unction of God, and the deaf is hearing, the lame are walking, and people are delivered, and you are getting people saved and expanding and extending the kingdom and compelling the multitude to come so that the house may be filled. And then you are moving from location to location. You may not go worldwide because that may not be your scope. But wherever you are found, there is an assignment there to do that requires resources. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One of our pastors told me the other day, he said, when he sees the way I'm restlessly moving up and down, he says it looks like he's wasting time. Because he needs to do all these crusades. Also in the locality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Massive resources. To organize quality crusade, quality stage. Look at that list there. See the sanctuary. I don't know whether it costs us up to £200,000 or £300,000 or something. Just multiply it by the current naira rate. If you multiply it, even if it is 200,000, I can't remember the amount now. If you multiply it, how much is that in Naira? Almost 250 million. Bam.
For altar alone.
For venue. Bam. There's no explanation to those. Those people don't know any explanation.
Every extra moment is extra.
If you do extra time from what time you agreed, you pay extra money. I beg, it's not there. Forget about it. Don't talk about it because some people will faint if you continue talking. Yes. No, we are not talking of equipment. There are other things that are equivalent to the same cost, like the venue. You haven't talked flight yet. But what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So one soul is more than 200,000 pounds. One soul is more than 1,000,000 pounds. One soul that is saved. One pastor that is transformed. One church that is lifted is more than even 10 million pounds. If they make it at the end and go to heaven. That is why you must have it. Stretch your two hands and say, I must have resources. For the sake of kingdom assignment, I must be empowered with financial resources. For the sake of kingdom assignment, I must be empowered. I reject the spell of scarcity, of shortage, of empty-handedness. Saying that even Jesus, I must be empowered. I shall be empowered. Is somebody getting anything at all? How many of you know that if it was for the purpose of this day one that you came for this conference, you have heard too much? That is Acts chapter 8 verse 8. And there was joy in that city. Please take your seat as we take the final. And there was joy, great joy in that city. What number did we go just now? Number 12 was supernatural supply. Exodus chapter 11 verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, now he gave them favor. Exodus 12:36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. The flight we used to go and come, one person paid for it. One person. Yeah. One. Let me not give you headache by telling you the cost. It's not $100,000. It's in excess of it. Oh, yes. Let me not give you headache by telling you the price. That is the kind of thing you will be doing. For the sake of the kingdom. It is a purchase of... outright purchase for the sake of the kingdom. We went to one country for crusade one time. One man said that the kind of aircraft you use to come is not good. It's too small. You don't use that again. He sent and rented another one. Bigger one. Another person. He said, it's like using a small car. He said, I don't like it. Don't use that one again. That person has three of his own. People deal.
In the name that is above every name. Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, the spirit of scarcity and shortage will never be your portion. Amen.
So when we came from that particular crusade, we came back with two planes. Some of you remember, you followed the one we came with first. Some of you followed it. Since we already paid for it, there was no way it could return back empty. Yes, that one brought the rest of the people. Somebody say amen. Amen.
Terrorism is sponsored by people with money.
I was talking with a service person the other day, lamenting that they go to face these people. They give them four magazines of ammunition. Before you know it, you have run out of magazine. And these people have endless rounds of ammunition. Endless. Somebody, plenty people pay for it. Countries are paying for it. That is money doing evil work. Money doing wicked work. Money doing bloodshed work.
And then the devil raises his ugly head and says the church should be poor. That devil is a bastard liar. Both the church and the members of the church are going to conquer wealth until we persecute the devil with resources. And go where we want to go per time to snatch people from the pit of hell and from the pit of darkness. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen.
Have we reached number 13, which is the final? 13 is the explosion of joy. Joy and celebration. That is one thing that revival, you can't miss. There is the explosion of joy. Explosion of celebration. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 13, They said, these people. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These men are full of new wine. These men are, because of the level of ecstasy and excitement they see with them, or they saw with them. And then we just saw chapter 8, verse 8 of, and there was great joy in that city. That is revival. We are going to pray now. Time is gone. But I made up my mind that if somebody came from Zimbabwe and stays here for one session till 12 midnight, it is worth it. Am I communicating? Those of you who came from Lugbe here, you may not know the value of what I'm talking about. Those of you who came from Zuba or wherever you came. Somebody paid money from the USA to come here, not to transact business, but to come and receive from God. Time makes no sense to them, provided they will receive what they came for. Am I communicating? We are going to pray, Lord, this character of revival, express it in my life. But ask, please stand up on your feet. I'm not going to give much of the secrets tonight, because the secrets are the things we are going to be dealing with throughout the course of this conference. But there is something that you must not forget. There must be the marriage of human desperation with divine visitation to bet spiritual revolution. There must be the marriage of human desperation. That is, a man is desperate at the same time that God is visiting. Then a spiritual revolution, which is what we call revival, can be born. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. He said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and that place was called the upper room. The day of Pentecost talks about divine timing. So there is a connection between the right time and the right place. Many of us are here now. Against all odds you came. The right time. I just told you that God is up to something in the world. It's called revival. The right time and the right place. See where the problem is. Many people, the day of Pentecost came, but they were not in the upper room. They were not where they are meant to be, in prayer, in fasting, in desperation, in the right location. For many, many days of Pentecost came, and nothing has changed in their lives. They were not in the upper room. They were in the lower room. Some were in the side room. Even some who were meant to be in the upper room were in the supper room. When they are meant to be fasting, they were feasting. There was a signal to wait on the Lord, because God is up to something. And they didn't notice it. I'll be praying for two categories tonight after the general prayer. The category of, Lord, it looks to me like I missed your visitation. Something tells me that there was a moment you wanted to visit me massively, and I missed it. That's a category. There is another category who will say, Lord, it looks like I made a move that you did not command. It looks like I took a step I wasn't meant to take. I acted in a fashion I was not meant to act. And it has led me to a standstill position spiritually. So Somebody was commanded to give an offering some place to some person. That was the end of dryness of life. The beginning of dryness, rather. Tonight, within the next 5-10 minutes, we shall be closing. You will lift up your hands. All right, 4 prayers very quickly. Number 1, appreciation to God for what you received tonight. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and speak to God in appreciation. Speak to God in appreciation. Speak to God in appreciation. Lift your hands, lift your voice and speak to God in appreciation. Speak to God in appreciation. Speak to God in appreciation. Honor Him, adore Him, worship Him. Speak to God in appreciation. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Father, thank you for your word to us this evening. I thank you for all that I received today. Be glorified, be honored, be adored. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. To answer, say after me, say, Father, I pray today that the character of revival I have heard about tonight will be manifested in my life, in my family, in my experience, in my assignment. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands, lift your voice, and say, Father, I ask that the character of revival that I heard about tonight will be manifested in my life, in my family, in my experience, in my assignment. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Jesus. Next, say after me, say, Father, have mercy on me. Give me a second chance if I miss your visitation at any time. I am sorry, Lord. I ask for your mercy. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray.
We are not afraid. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father. Tonight, I ask for your mercy if I made a wrong move at any time. If I took a step I was not meant to take. If I made a move I was not meant to make. Have mercy on me. Pardon me, Lord. Open your mouth and speak to God. Precious name. Lift your hands everywhere you are. Lord, I missed a visitation. I want you to give me another chance. Now, I'm not talking to everybody. You know within yourself that you miss a timing, a visitation of something. Can you step forward, carry your Bible and bag, just on the altar here. Just 1 minute. Come fast, because we don't have much time. And just be on your knees here. I need another chance to do it well. I missed the timing. I missed the visitation. Please, as you are coming, come with your things, because there are some Judas Iscariot who go to church looking for what to take. And every Judas Iscariot that came here tonight, the only thing you can carry out of here is every affliction. Came here with a mind to steal. Congratulations for all the hypertensions and diabetes and systemic lupus erythematosus. And venal keratoconjunctivitis. And if you don't repent, you can add Kaposi Sarcoma. The rest of us in the congregation, lift your hands and begin to speak to God. Lord, it looks like I missed a visitation. I missed a visitation. I ask for another chance. I ask for a second chance, a second opportunity to do it well. Now, if the altar is filled, you can remain on the aisle or wherever you find. I missed a timing. I missed a visitation. I knew you called me to take a fast someday, but I failed to fast. I failed to do the things I was to do, and I missed a visitation. I missed the timing. I missed something, and I want you to give me another chance. I want you to help me. I don't want to miss it another time. Pray. Open your mouth and pray. I missed a visitation. I missed timing. I ask for your help. I ask for your mercy. I ask for your help. I ask for your mercy.
Zion, grace shall be thy glory. When the King shall come, go forward. Oh Zion, grace shall be thy glory. When the King shall come, if you have the lyrics of that song, I say to you, please look for it for me. Go forward, oh Zion. Grace shall be thy triumph. When the King shall come, go forward. Oh Zion, grace shall be thy triumph. When thy King shall come, go forward. Oh Zion, grace shall be thy triumph.
When thy King shall come, go forward, O Zion,
grace shall be thy triumph.
When thy King shall come.
I prophesy upon you today a second chance, a second divine visitation, a second divine encounter. Even this night, overnight, God grant you clarity, grant you clarity, grant you clarity, and grant you help. It's a second visitation. He will not miss it another time. So shall it be.